says, my child, I'm here. Hold on. When the dark of night surrounds and loneliness and emptiness invade my heart, and there's no one to guide me, Jesus comes and he says, my child, hold on. Hold on through the dark times. Hold on though the way seems too long.
My grace
is sufficient for thee. Treasures to find. Give wisdom to choices I make along every path that I take. So when I complete life's race, well done, you will say.
Well, glory. Thank you, ladies. That was a blessing. Open your Bible to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Jude is the next to the last book in the New Testament. The book of Jude. Once you find Jude, turn to chapter 2, if you will, please. As soon as you find chapter 2, stand. Amen. I expected that out of a missionary and a deacon. Jude only has one chapter, but once you find it, stand anyway. I'm sorry, I couldn't help that. And I've been on vacation. I've got to get a little closer to God than I am right now, you know. I'm joking. The Bible says in Jude, verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now mark that down when it says the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith is talking about the body of truth, the doctrine that we believe. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you into remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. We'll leave off reading there. Go back up to verse number 3. Jude said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." I want to speak to you from that statement, the common salvation. The title of my message is "The Greatest Thing in All the World." He stated that common salvation because he wanted us to know it's the same to everybody. There's not one salvation for Jew and a different for the Greek. There's not one for the Baptist, one for the Catholic. There's not one for the black and one for the white and one for the Asian race. Just one. It's common to all. And then anything that's common means there's a lot of it. Now I want you to know there's enough salvation to go around to every lost sinner that wants to be saved. Nobody has to go to hell. You can be saved if you come the Bible way and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Salvation is the most wonderful thing in all the world. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message to be able to present this simple truth that the most wonderful thing in all the world is salvation for lost sinners. Thank you for Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. Help us to understand this morning the importance of this message. And when we leave here on this Memorial Day weekend, may we who are saved go away rejoicing in the fact that we possess the most wonderful thing in all the world, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Help me now, fill me with Thy Holy Spirit, and save every unsaved person present today. Lord, call each of us back to that place where we're walking in Your will, by Your way, to please You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Many years ago, on the Art Linkletter show, and many of you won't remember that because that goes all the way back in television days when television was mostly black and white, and it began every day with 2 hours of test pattern, and then when the pictures came on, it was more snow than picture. But if you could see through the snow, you could see a man named Art Linkletter who had a daytime variety show, and in that show he had a segment dealing with little children, and it was entitled "Children Say" or "Kids Say the Funniest Things." And he asked one of the children on this TV show, "What is the greatest thing in all the world?" Expecting the child to answer such as some special toy is the greatest, or some candy or ice cream is the greatest. He was startled by this little boy's answer. This little boy, about 6 years old, 7 years old, said, Sir, the greatest thing in all the world is God's wonderful salvation. I'd like to say to you this morning that I agree wholehearted with that little boy. He had wisdom beyond his years. Salvation is the only thing that can lift a wicked man or woman out of the gutter and give them a new life with hope and purpose. Such a man once said, "When I came to Christ, he didn't scold me, he didn't pity me, he just loved me and saved me." Salvation can take the darkness of sin and turn it into sunlight. Salvation can take a lost sinner and turn him into a godly saint. Salvation can take you and me from the broad and wide road of sin and set us on the straight and narrow road of God. Salvation can take our doubts and fears and failures and our faults and turn them into trust, peace, and hope and faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation can take our worthless life of sin and hopelessness and give us a life worth living here on earth and a future to look forward to in eternity. I could go on and on and on about how wonderful salvation is, but I want you to consider with me why salvation is the greatest thing in all the world. May I say to you, first of all, that salvation is the greatest thing in all the world because God thought it. God thought it. Airplanes, spaceships, automobiles, computers, and all such like had their beginning on the drawing boards and the mind of men. However, salvation had its beginning in the heart and on the drawing board of God before the world was ever created. Before anything was, before the stars began to twinkle at night, before the moon began to shine its light on the ocean, God in His foreknowledge thought salvation into existence. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did bless us in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, for our being holy and unblemished before Him in love, having foreordained us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, that passage of Scripture tells us that God planned salvation. He thought it. He planned it. He brought it into existence before the world was ever founded, and He did it for us, so that it could be applied and brought to us in time. But salvation began in the heart and the mind of God. Salvation is not something God thought up at the last minute because everything else had failed. Salvation was carefully thought out by God. As He looked down the corridor of time, before anything was ever created, and in His foreknowledge, our omnipotent God is also omniscient. He knows all things. He sees all things. The Bible tells us He sees the end before the beginning. And thus it was when it came to salvation. God thought it before man was ever created and needed it. And God looked down through His foreknowledge, the corner of time, and He saw His creation. He saw man's sin. He saw sin separate us from a relationship with God. And God planned that in Christ, in His Son, through His Son, by His own death for us, we would have redemption and be reconciled back to God, we would have salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that God thought it. Thank God salvation was not the product of a board or a Baptist committee to argue over. Why, if that be the case, salvation would still been in the planning stage. Ah, but God thought it. God planned it. God brought it to pass and made it available to us just when we needed it. God thought it. No wonder David said in Psalm 139, verse 17, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of it." That little old boy had more wisdom than some scientist, had more wisdom than some religious people, had more wisdom than some doctors and lawyers, had more wisdom than some who are sitting here today. Because that little old boy answered correctly. The greatest thing in all the world is God's wonderful salvation for us. I want you to know our salvation is great because God thought it. Secondly, our salvation is the greatest thing in all the world because Christ bought it. God thought it. Christ bought it. Think with me about our salvation. Who bought it? It was Christ who bought it, not man, not religion, not a certain church, and not you or me. It was God who thought it, and Christ who bought it. 1 Peter 1:18 through 20 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Oh my. Salvation is the most wonderful thing in all the world because God thought it and because Christ bought it. Don't be fooled into thinking that salvation comes from some other person or some organization. Man is deceived over and over again at this point. They think that salvation is something they can do, they can obtain, they can earn. Oh, dear friend, you better learn this truth. This wonderful salvation is the greatest thing in all the world because God thought it and because Christ bought it. The value of the gift is determined by the giver. What makes salvation so great? Because our holy God thought it and our holy Savior bought it. They've given it to us. I have a baseball signed by Nolan Ryan to commence his 5,000th strikeout. It's signed by him and numbered. There were only 1,500 of them signed to commemorate his 5,000th strikeout. Now, that gives it some value. I loved to watch Nolan Ryan pitch. I followed Nolan Ryan. That makes that baseball valuable. But what makes it more valuable is this. It was given to me by my friend, Dr. Jack Hiles, with a personal letter thanking me for being his friend. And that letter and the fact that he gave it to me makes that gift more valuable than the signature of Nolan Ryan or the baseball or what it stands for. Now I want you to know the gift of salvation is given not from a church, not from a man, but from God. He thought it. And from Christ, he bought it. He paid for it, and he gives it freely to to all who'll accept Him as Savior. As we celebrate this Memorial Day, let us not forget that America is great because of those who paid our freedom with their own blood. Let us not forget who purchased our national freedom or our personal salvation. Salvation is the greatest thing in all the world because it cost heaven its greatest and best treasure, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Matthew 20:28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Do you ever consider the greatness of your salvation? Do you ever stop and think about the value of it, the wonder of it, the treasure you possess in this earthen vessel if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Yes. God thought it, and Christ bought it. Thirdly, salvation is the greatest thing in the world, and the Bible taught it. That may not be good English, but it sure rhymes with my other points. The Bible taught it, and it still teaches it. You want to know about salvation, you go to the Word of God. If you go to a man or a woman and they try to explain getting to heaven and being saved without the Bible, run from them. If you want the authority of salvation, go to the Word of God, because God thought it, Christ bought it, and the Bible taught it. The Bible's the greatest book of all time. It's still the number one bestseller of all time. When you read the Bible, you know anything about the Bible, there's only one theme that runs through the entire Bible, and it's the redemption and salvation of fallen man. John 1, verse 1 through 4 says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Bible is teaching that salvation is not a plan, it's not a religion, it's a person, Jesus Christ, who bought it. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I've quoted from only one human writer in the Bible. Only one. There are almost 40 different writers of the books of the Bible, and all of the books set forth the same overriding theme: redemption through Christ Jesus alone. I'm glad to tell you that salvation is the greatest thing in all the world, because this blessed old book, the Bible, that has stood the test of the ages, teaches it. Salvation is the greatest thing in the world because God thought it, Christ bought it, and the Bible taught it. Number four, another reason I believe that salvation is the greatest thing in all the world is because the devil has fought it. The devil has fought it. From the very beginning of man and God's provision of salvation, Satan has fought it. He fought it in Adam's day. He fought it in Cain and Abel's day. And he's still fighting against it in our day. The one thing that has never changed down through the ages is the fact that Satan has fought against God's plan for sinners' salvation. The devil fights anything connected with Jesus Christ, the Savior. He fights against the Bible. The greatest battle of our day is over this book right here. Is it the Word of God? I believe it is. Why are men changing it if it's the Word of God? Why are they deleting verses from it if it's the Word of God? If this is not the Word of God, we have no authority for our belief. If this is not the Word of God, we have no faith, no doctrine. He fights against everything that God stands for. He's fought against the Bible. Fights against the Bible because it tells us about God's wonderful salvation. He fights against the church. The devil is in constant pursuit and attack on the church. I told our Sunday school class, used to the devil would attack the church, now he's joining it. And what's worse is preachers are inviting him. They're taking him on his statement. No one can testify of his faith or his salvation or his believer's baptism. They just want members. They're taking wolves in sheep's clothing. Devil fights against the church. Fights on the outside against it. He fights from the inside. Jesus, when he established the church, said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Satan's going to fight against it. Why? Because the church is the one empowered by God to tell the message of salvation around the entire world. No other organization on the earth has the commission and authority and the power of God to carry the gospel to every creature but the church. The devil fights against the Christian, against you as an individual, because the Christian is the one who is commanded to be his witness into all the world. His witness about salvation. The devil fights everything that stands for God and for salvation. However, the greatest battle the devil ever fought was on Calvary, where Jesus purchased our salvation. He thought he had won. When God's Son died, he thought he had won. When Jesus said, "It is finished," Satan must have thought, "I've done it, I've done it, I've won." Took him and put his lifeless body, the lifeless body of Jesus, in the grave. And for 3 days and three nights, Satan must have had a party. "I've won, I'm the victor, I've beat God." Early on Sunday morning, up from the grave he arose. He defeated Satan. He conquered sin, death, and hell, and has salvation available for all who believe. Oh, there on Calvary, Jesus fought the greatest battle against Satan that's ever been fought. And he won. Satan cannot stand to see people get saved because it makes new daddies and new mothers out of sinners. Salvation makes new children out of rebels and prodigals. How does Satan fight against salvation? Well, one way he fights against salvation, he sends people around on bicycles with another gospel. Hey, that's the devil's doing. That's not God's doing. When a person comes to your door and says, "We want to talk to you about another gospel," you better go back to Galatians chapter 1, where God warns us, if any man comes unto you with any other gospel, if he preached to you any other gospel, let him be accursed. A false gospel. There's only one good news, and that good news is that salvation is the most wonderful thing in the world because God thought it. Christ bought it. The Bible taught it. And the devil fought it. Satan fights against salvation by spreading another gospel. A gospel of works, a gospel of feelings, a gospel of signs and wonders, instead of a gospel of faith in Jesus Christ. He fights against it by spreading a social gospel, a secular gospel. All man needs is a better education and a better environment. If we can just get the smog out of the air, then man can pull himself up by his own bootstraps and say, that's heresy. That's a lie. No social gospel will ever get you to heaven. Getting along with one another, singing Kumbaya, is not going to get you to heaven. Education's not going to get you to heaven. A better job's not going to get you to heaven. It's salvation through Jesus Christ, the greatest thing in all the world. Another way he fights it is by presenting a limited gospel. There's a bunch of people running around today in the name of Jesus, even in the name of Baptists, that's saying salvation is not available for everybody. Only the elect. They miss the whole meaning that God has predetermined that everyone who accepts Christ are part of the elect. They're elect in Christ. You say, I don't know if I'm one of the elect tonight. Accept Jesus as your Savior and you'll be one of the elect. That's the Word of God and the plan of God. The devil fights against this wonderful, the greatest thing, the most wonderful thing in all the world, salvation, by limiting it just to a certain elect few. I'm here to tell you, I don't care who you are. I don't care how far down in sin you've been or how black in sin and wickedness you've been. If you'll come to Jesus Christ in simple faith, crying out to Him as a lost sinner for His forgiveness and His salvation, He has promised all who come unto Me, I'll not turn one out. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, salvation's the greatest thing in all the world because God thought it. Christ bought it. The Bible taught it. And Satan has fought it. My last point is, to me, salvation is the greatest thing in all the world because I caught it. Now, I do not mean that I chased it down and caught it. Nor do I mean that it's like a virus that infected me. I just needed this point to rhyme with the other four. So I caught it. I got saved. I do mean it is great to me because I am a recipient of that salvation. As a 15-year-old boy on my way to hell, a rebel, a prodigal, I heard the gospel and realized my lost condition. And I came that night the best I knew how and asked Jesus to be my Savior and forgive my sin. And He did. And He did. Nothing has ever happened to me of that magnitude before. Nothing has been that great. Nothing is of greater importance. The greatest thing in all the world. It is the greatest thing in all the world because God thought it, Christ bought it, the Bible taught it, the devil fought it, and praise God, I caught it. Some of you here today don't even really know that you're saved. Some don't understand why God would save a sinner like you or me. Be honest with you, I don't really understand either, but I know He did. I know He did. I know I didn't deserve it. I believed upon His Son Jesus, like He said. And I asked, in a simple 15-year-old country boy's way, for Him to save me. And I was born again. I became a child of God. And I have the witness of the Bible to prove it. I have a changed life to prove it. And I have a witness within me of the Holy Spirit of God, who assures me of it, that it's settled in Christ Jesus. Why, Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. John said that he had passed from death unto life. Jude said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It would be a terrible thing to live our life and miss the greatest thing in all the world. That is to be saved and know it. Especially when it's already been paid for, it's already been provided, and it's free to those who will receive it. You can receive Christ Jesus today. I hear people say, man, I'd like to become one of those millionaires on television. I'm here to tell you, God has something better and more valuable than becoming a millionaire. $1 million couldn't touch salvation. It couldn't pay the price of his redemption for us. But God has paid that price for us. And he has salvation available to you today. But you must personally and individually receive it. You come today in simple childlike faith, believing he died for your sins, believing that he was raised for your justification. If you'll just believe he died for your sins and ask him to save you, he has promised he'll not turn you away. He'll receive you. If you'll receive him, he'll accept you and forgive you and save you and give you life everlasting. Ah, the little boy was right. Art Linkletter was taken back by his answer. What's the greatest thing in all the world, son? The little boy said, salvation in Jesus Christ is the greatest thing in all the world. Because God thought it. Christ bought it. The Bible taught it. Satan fought it. And praise God, I caught it. Have you? Can you say this morning, I know I'm saved? You know, I don't know if my automobile will start when I get in it. But I know I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I'll live another day or another week, but I know I'm going to heaven. Because I have received the most wonderful thing in all the world. God's wonderful salvation. Have you? You can today. You can settle it today. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Have you? Will you? Heavenly Father, that's our message this morning.